Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today, we will continue on the broadcast with our new series of studies, which we have entitled The Fruits of the Christian Life. You will remember, those of you who listened to this program, that we introduced it from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the true vine." He is the source of fruit. He is the one that bore fruit for God. Now, in that portion of Scripture, he speaks there about 3 degrees of fruit bearing: fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And he says, and he climaxes the whole exhortation to his disciples, he climaxes it with a wonderful 8th verse, and here it is: "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now here the fruit is not specified, it's used in the generic sense. Now elsewhere in the New Testament, we find out what this fruit is. And today on the broadcast, with the Lord's help, we wish to speak of the fruit of good works. Good works as a fruit. And in succeeding broadcasts, we will talk about the fruit of giving, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, and the fruit of worship. Now, I'm not sure that we've covered the whole gamut, the whole range of the fruits that we can bear for God, but this will certainly keep us busy, and I think that we shall profit from the study. Now, in the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, we read these words concerning the church at Colossae. He says in verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." And then Paul goes on, and we will come back to these scriptures in just a moment. Then Paul goes on in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." This is the first instance we have had the work defined. It's good work and good works. Now let's go back to verse 4. "For the hope which we have laid up for you in heaven, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Now here is the reason for the good works, the truth of the gospel. Now the truth of the gospel is this: what has God done for us? Well, God gave his Son. The best he had, he gave his only begotten Son, as we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that verse means plainly, if you relate it to the context, it means plainly that he gave him up to the cross. God gave his Son. And Christ gave his life for you and for me. How wonderful that Christ would do that for you and for me, that he would die for our sins according to the Scriptures, be buried, and rise again the 3rd day according to the Scriptures, that we might be cleansed from our sins. Now, here is the root. Here is the root of the fruit. This is, we have God's example for giving. Now, he wants us to serve others as he has served us. And I think that we go on to the end of verse 6, "which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. The grace of God sustains us. This is the source of our fruit, the example of God Himself, who gave of Himself. And we have known the grace of God, and to know God in truth is to become like Him. God wants us to become like Him. He was so good to us, and so many of the things that He has done for us, now we have the privilege of reflecting His character and serving His people. And remember this, when you serve the saints of God, the Lord Jesus will say on one occasion to one group that served the saints of God, inasmuch as you've done it unto me, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. You serve the saints of God and you've done it for Christ. You've done it for God. And He wants us to walk in His example. Now, this is the source of all good works. It just simply isn't a means of developing our own aggrandizement, of being known as a good person. No, that's it. That's not it. It goes farther. It goes deeper than that. It goes to the very character of God. And the expression of it is, we want to see others blessed as He saw us blessed. And especially the dear unsaved. We want those who do not know Christ as Savior, who cannot say that they're saved, we want them to hear about Christ and the fact that they can be saved just as well as we through simple trusting faith in the work of Christ on that cross. Christ died for our sins, all of them. All of them. God and His omniscience laid them all on Christ. Though we didn't exist for 2,000 years, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We so earnestly want that blessing to come upon others. And I think probably part of the good works is the gospel. This subject of good works has such a broad, broad application. Now, as a matter of fact, I want to, at this time, refer to three examples of good works. Three is the number of the Trinity, and three, indeed, is the number of power. And I want to cite three examples of good works and what they can do for other people. Peter mentions it in his first epistle, chapter 2, and verse 12. There we read these words, having your conversation, and this really means more than just simply your speech. It means your whole life. It's the manner of life. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil, speak against you rather, as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now the Gentiles, shall we say the unredeemed around us, they find fault with Christians. I think they're envious, really. But they find fault with Christians. And now Peter says, here is the way to shut them up. Shut them up with your good works. Let me read that verse again. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they'll try to blame you for things you're not guilty, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is the day of visitation? It's the day when God visits them about the matter of salvation, troubles them by His Holy Spirit, makes them realize how much they need of salvation. They in their thoughts will go back perhaps to us, to you and to me, who have lived a decent life, an admirable life before them, a life of good works before them. They will go back and they will think of the fact, well, you know, I saw this thing lived out in a Christian life and I know it's for real. And they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. Why? Because of our good works. That's the reason why. Now, another example is the woman of Dorcas, or the lady called Dorcas, rather, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Listen to this, please. Acts 9 and verse 36. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, or Tabitha, rather, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into an upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now this woman served God with her needle, and she made these garments. I wonder if perhaps she was reminded in making garments for others of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 10. We read there, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath covered me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." You know, Lydda had been covered with the garments of salvation. And that reflected in the use of her needle. She made garments for others. To make a long story short, Peter raised her from the dead. And they were so glad to see her. Now for a third example. The widows in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verses 9 and 10, we read of those widows. And here's what Paul has to say of them. "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet." Now remember, the saints' feet. Now remember, all of these are good works. Let me repeat them. "If she be well reported of for good works, if she brought up children," that's a good work, believe me. "If she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." Now, they were to be taken in and taken care of. What a variety of good works that we have been brought before us. Now, two of these examples of the three that I brought before you is spoken of women. Now, that does not mean that the field is confined to the ladies, but they certainly do have a way of exhibiting their faith by their good works. Shall we not reflect God's goodness to us in showing that goodness to others? Our Father, we come into your presence now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that this series shall stir our hearts and challenge us to live for the Christ who died for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.